This isn't Christmas, obviously. Is it ever in this state? Where I hope you had took that in tape, too. That would be a great thing. I wrote this for an airline magazine. You know, those free things that people steal when they tell you to take. And it takes about 11 minutes. You can time me if you want. By the time the Japanese Imperial forces were deep into the mopping up operation in the Bataan Peninsula, preparations for the siege and fall of Corregidor were also underway. One of the defenders was Clemente Garcia, a 23-year-old youngster from Mercedes, Texas, down in the valley. He was born not in Mercedes, but in northern Mexico. His mother, two brothers, and a sister had crossed the Rio Grande at Rio Rico, Tamaulipas, Mexico, and settled in Mercedes for some 2 or 3 years after the death of Don Clemente Sr., a victim of the Spanish influenza epidemic in the 20s. Don Clemente had been a veteran of the Mexican Revolution. Upon his death, as he was an enlisted careerist, his widow began to receive a smallish pension from the Mexican government. Mrs. Garcia's decision to cross the Rio Grande was an economic one, and thus no different from that made by hundreds of thousands of European and other immigrants who settled in the United States. The choice of Mercedes was no accident, however. Many newly arriven Mexican nationals made it a type of halfway house before they spread out all over Texas, the Midwestern United States, and beyond. One of the many Garcias, and of the many Garcias, these settled in Mercedes. Aurora, an only daughter, did needlepoint and constructed some remarkably intricate paper designs used as cemetery decorations. Two of the youngsters, Arturo and Medardo, were apprenticed off to neighborhood panaderias, bakeries. Clemente, clearly the brightest, according to the family, enrolled at the All-Texas Mexican Neighborhood School, North Ward Elementary. He logged in the mandatory 6 years there and at age 16 had learned to read and write enough English to hire on as a sack boy for a local grocery store. Later on, he became a delivery man as well as a driver. On his 21st birthday, he came to our home and knocked on the east porch door. I was the only one home at the time and invited him in. He thanked me but said he was in the middle of a delivery. He had stopped, he said, to ask my father's advice on some matter, but that he'd call again. Our people came to the valley, as had his, with the Escandon expedition and colonists of 1749. Our family happened to live on the northern bank of the Rio Grande when it became part of the American Union. His ancestors had lived on the southern bank, and thus, with the proclamation of the Treaty of Guadalupe Hidalgo, they became Mexican nationals and we, American citizens. Since Clemente had no father, he called on mine for advice. This was in the late 30s, and there were still some strong remnants of the old patriarchal system established in 1750. It's a serious matter, Don Manuel, he said to my father. And this was the obligatory phrase, and it could encompass almost anything. From a request for my father as a sponsor to ask for a girl's hand in marriage, to putting in a good word, dar una recomendación, for whatever was needed. In short, almost anything, but certainly something of importance to the petition. The Great Depression was still hanging on in the valley and elsewhere, and steady jobs were hard to come by. In Garcia's case, though, it was something different. During one of these deliveries in the Anglo-Texan side of town, he had met a man named Claude Rogers. According to Clemente, Rogers was going to own and operate a golf station on the Texas-Mexican part of town. And Rogers had wanted Clemente if he wanted to work there, had asked him to, full-time. Clemente had not known what to say to this, but Rogers resolved it when he said, think it over. Come by in a week or so. So my father listened to Clemente, nodded, and then pointed to a chair. Clemente sat down, and one of my sisters brought him a tall glass of limeade. I was about to leave him, but my father said I could stay, and I did so. The upshot was that he took the job at the gas station, which was directly across from our house. And I would see him every day on my way to work or on my way to school at North Ward Elementary. In November of 1940, a week before Thanksgiving, as I was crossing North Texas Avenue on my way home, I heard a shrill series of whistles. It was Clemente. Acá, he said, over here. And he grinned and yelled out, Andale, come on, hurry it up. And he was standing under the car wash and surrounded by Gulf oil cans. What's up? I asked. Look, and he pointed. I said, at what? The oil cans. He said, yeah, I've been saving them. And I asked, can you sell them, like milk bottles? And he laughed, and he said, no, I'm going to weld them, all of them. I'm going to weld them. I'm going to make as a Santa Claus for Christmas. Really? Out of cans? He said, yeah, you just wait. And then I said, can I help? He said, well, you'd better. It's my Christmas present for you. For me? And he said, sure. So we began by rinsing them and drying them out. What's your dad going to give you anyway? A pair of khaki pants. Oh, and a leather belt from Madame Morris. And well, this will be your third Christmas present. Everybody's entitled to three, you know, just like Los Magos, the Magi. Well, Thanksgiving came and went, and every afternoon after running errands and doing the daily chores, I'd run over to Rogers Gulf, rinse some more cans, and watch Clemente weld them for the Santa Claus. We're going to put it up there on top of the car wash. I'll get me some good, strong wire, and nothing will blow it down, not even the Gulf wind. And Clemente finished it a week before Christmas. And then in January, on the day of the Magi, he received a notice from the local Selective Service Board. He took and passed his physical in San Antonio in March of 1941, and he was on his way to the Philippines by October of the same year. What letters he wrote to his mother were brought to my father to read, and my father also translated the fateful telegram sent by the War Department in the summer of 1942. The Santa Claus stayed on top of the car wash for some 10 years after World War II, rusted out finally, but I remembered it was big and red and white and held there by big black boots. Perfect. In the way of the world of the living, I forgot about it. I'd almost forgotten Clemente Garcia, La Norteñita, as we called him. It was an affectionate name and feminine, but he was called that in the singular in honor of his favorite song, Las Norteñitas, those oh-so-sweet northern girls. Then one December day, I went down to Mercedes on some now-forgotten family business. Urban Renewal had taken care of Rogers' station and the house in which I was born. In its place, there was a parking lot, but across the street, Rogers Station had been replaced by a tire store. It was owned by a man named Leopoldo Martinez. As I crossed the street to see Martinez, I thought and saw that I saw the Gulf oil can Santa Claus. I walked on, and I was sure I had seen it again, somewhere. But how? I ran inside the store and then almost knocked over down a clerk who was taking inventory. Oh, it's you, doctor. How are you? I stopped and looked at him for some sign of recognition. Found none. I'm sorry, I said. Who's your father? Leocadio Gavira, the truck driver. He knows you. I nodded and apologized again, and he couldn't help noticing my searching for something and asked, can I help you? I didn't know what to say and where to begin. Images of the 30s, 40s, and 50s flicked on and off again as in a slideshow, until I finally said, no, thanks. I thought I'd seen something. It's nothing. And he nodded, and as I turned to go, the image flashed on again as a reflection somewhere. It was nothing more than a blown-up Michelin tire man, waving, smiling at me, and someone had painted him up as Santa Claus. The Gavita youngster looked at it and said, oh, that, it's a new line. You know, some of the older people come in and stare at it for the longest time. You know why they do that? I nodded slightly and then, on an impulse, asked, did you ever know or hear of the widow Garcia on Hidalgo and First? I said, sure. She must be close to 90, 95, 100 maybe. She's still alive, you know, lives there with a daughter, I think. And with her memories, I said to myself, thanks. What's your name anyway? John, sir. John. Well, thanks again. Yes, sir. And he went back to his inventory. The Michelin tire man. It looked grotesque somehow. But, and again somehow, it looked like my third Christmas present, my Gulf oil can Santa Claus, the one I got before the war.